grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up the wills of your faithful people, Lord God, and open our ears to the words of your prophets, that anointed by your Spirit, we may testify to your light. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
May be seated. Look.
First reading is from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his goodness. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair their ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 126 responsibly. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream.
Then our mouth filled with laughter,
and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses of Negev. Those who sowed with tears will reap the song with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying the seeds, will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophet, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They began asking him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Candles were lit on our Advent wreath this Sunday. We're moving closer to Christmas. That's one of the reasons that this is known as Rejoice Sunday. We light the pink candle. I guess pink is more joyful than purple. And we hear the joy in the biblical writings of this coming of the Messiah. There's that happy refrain through the readings of this day from those first imperative words of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. Rejoice always. He's telling us what we are to do. Rejoice always. And then the words that we spoke in the psalm, that our mouth was filled with laughter and our hearts were filled with joy at this knowing that the Lord, the Messiah, was coming. We find those words in the psalm. And then we hear in the first reading from the prophet Isaiah, "I will rejoice greatly in the Lord." Lots of rejoicing, lots of joy, lots of anticipation. But still, in the midst of this joy, we are called in this time of waiting with some expectations. And we are called to give testimony to what is coming. In the first few sentences of the gospel reading, we hear the words witness, testify, and testimony. Those words all have the same Greek root. And the same root, the same word for testify, witness, testimony, martyria, is the same word that we use for martyr, or a martyr, to testify, to witness. The gospel reading speaks of the one who was sent to witness, and the gospel writer identifies him simply as John. This is John the Baptist. Certainly it is, but it also calls to mind another one named John, John the Evangelist, John whose whole gospel is a witness. And the testimony that we have from these two Johns is like that of a martyr, self-giving for a purpose, in order that all might believe and have life in the one to whom they point. In John's gospel, the other John that he's writing about is not so much the baptizer as he is the witness, the testifier. Or as I like to call him, John, the pointer. If you've ever seen that famous altar triptych, the three-paneled altar in Europe. Real broad. By Grunewald. Does anybody know where that is? Is it in Bruges? No, I don't think so. I think it's in Belgium, though. I think you're in the right country. In this Grunewald altarpiece, Christ on the cross, suffering, and John the Baptist in the corner, bringing to life all of these things that we've heard of John. First, pointing to Jesus, and his finger is probably twice as long as a normal finger. It's, you know, like this big. And he's pointing up to Jesus. That's his job. John the pointer. And John said, I must decrease and he must increase. And in this painting, John is like this big and Jesus is like this big. So he's, even proportion-wise, he is decreased and Jesus is increased. And John the pointer. The gospel writer starts out this gospel. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to witness, to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. And it's a very short, very simple introduction of one of the most recognizable characters in the gospel story. But there's two things that we notice here. First, John is sent from God. He didn't speak on his own accord. He didn't have this idea out of his own head or under his own authority. But rather, he is called and commissioned and sent by God. And the second thing is that he came to witness. That means to tell what you saw, to tell the truth of what you've experienced or felt, what you know firsthand. John came as a witness, and in particular, he came to witness to the light. You know, we use that word witness if you've ever been in court or if you have been, Anne's new husband was an expert witness often in court. Is that right? He was called in, he's an architect, and he was called in to give expert testimony, and I don't know what he would testify about, but it would only be about something that he knew. You can't witness or testify to something that you don't know. So John is to testify to the light, to what he knew. Now here's something to think about. The gospel writer, here we're reading from John the evangelist, was he only talking about a man sent from God named John? Or could he be talking about us? It's clear that John the evangelist, the gospel writer, did have John the Baptist, John the pointer, in mind. But I think that what he was saying also applies to us. Because in our baptism, we also have been called by God. And we have been called and commissioned, sent, empowered, equipped by God to do something. And the thing that we are called to do is to witness, to share our experiences, to share our feelings and our beliefs. Now, those of you who were at Jeremy Serrano's ordination yesterday heard this call to witness loud and clear. Witness, 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 testify. Jeremy has a particular call to do that witnessing through word and sacrament. But we all have that call through our baptism. Now, some people say that Lutherans don't like to witness. Lutherans don't like to testify. They don't like to share. But really, we share all the time. We share. I know some people are great Charger and Padres fans, and they're not at all reticent to tell me about it or to tell anybody else about it as well. And I know people who are very enthused about their own involvement in activities, hobbies, attendance at concerts or regular golf club experiences. And we're not too shy to offer our opinions or our ideas, some expert and some less than expert, but we still have them and we still are quite free in sharing. We share on current events and on all sorts of issues. I'm not sure that Lutherans don't like to witness. But like John, it's not just that stuff that we witness. That we witness to or testify to. But we are called, like John, to witness to the light. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to corner some unsuspecting friend or colleague at the Christmas party and ask them whether they've accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, or ask them. I did not go to December nights, but I heard one of my friends was telling me that there were all these signs about, do you know where you're going to spend the rest of your spend eternity? And there were lots of hell, you know, you're going to hell or whatever. And I don't know what it was about, but that's not the kind of witnessing and testimony that I'm talking about. Our call is to witness to the light. It's not about us. It's simply pointing to Jesus, pointing out the light in the midst of our darkness. So what does it mean to be that kind of witness, to be a pointer? We can learn from John, both from John the Evangelist and from John the Baptist. What can we learn from them that can inspire and help us in our calling to be witnesses? Looking at the gospel, we see that it begins with confession. The gospel writer emphasizes this with repetition, writing that John confessed and did not deny it, but confessed. And at the end of the gospel, Peter denies being a disciple of Jesus by stating emphatically, I am not a disciple of Jesus. But in this reading, those negative words, I am not, are carefully constructed in a way that we see that it is not a denial, but it's a confession. Three times the questioners ask John who he is, and three times he responds by confessing, I am not. I am not the Messiah. I am not Elijah. I am not the prophet. In the gospel, and in John's gospel especially, that is filled with those statements that Jesus makes later on in the gospel, we'll hear these statements from in John's gospel, and they're called the I am statements. Jesus, I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the one who is to come. Jesus makes many statements of the I am. So here in this very gospel, we hear John Baptist saying, I am not, I am not, I am not. John, the cousin of Jesus, saying who he is not. And that's where we begin too. That's where we begin our witness as we seek to follow Christ and to witness to the light. We always begin our worship at the font with a confession, with forgiveness. We confess that we are not faithful. We confess that we have not loved God as we should. We confess that we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Confessing who we are not and confessing our sin is also a confession of who Christ is, the Lamb of God who forgives us, who claims us, who tells us who and whose we are, the beloved children of God. And renewed in the promises of our baptism, we can be who we are called to be, who we are sent to be, confessing our faith as living witnesses. By confessing three times who he is not, John says three times who he is. So first he says, I am not, I am not, I am not. And then they say, well, who are you then? And he says, this is who I am. I am a voice crying in the wilderness. I am one who baptizes. I am the unworthy one. I'm pretty sure that those questioners who came from Jerusalem were looking for a little different answer than that. They wanted to know who John was. But John is the pointer, and he points to Jesus. He tells, it's not about me, it's about him. And that's our job as well. That's our Advent calling, to point to Jesus, to trust that light and that life in the world to come, not only in the Christ child born at Bethlehem, but to us now, clothed in our baptismal garments, fed at the supper of the Lamb. We are called to look for opportunities to witness like John. Your mother probably told you that it's not polite to point. But that's our Advent calling, to be pointers, to point out the glimmer of light in our dark world, to point out those places where grace is flowing freely in a world that otherwise tries to tell us that there is no grace and that there is no hope, to point out where God is in our world. One of my colleagues, I like to call him my colleague, but I've really never met him, and a famous person, and but anyway, one of my colleagues said, you know what you should do on give people an opportunity to witness. So everybody turn to the person next to you and tell them where you saw God today. I said, well, we got a kind of early morning service. I'm not sure that people have had an opportunity to see God today. But you know, ask yourself, if you would, at the sign of peace today, points, maybe if you have had an experience, look for God. Look for God's light shining in your darkness. Look for God's grace shining in your world today. Look for those signs of hope, those signs for joy. This is Rejoice Sunday. Look for those little pieces of joy and delight that God is flooding the world with light. But we need pointers. We need someone to help us to turn our eyes and look at that light. Thanks be to God. Rejoice and be glad, because the one who calls you to do this is faithful, and he will do it. You don't have to do it. God's doing it in you.